case on the docket is Holzinger versus Commonwealth. Mr. Ward, you have 15 minutes.
3 minutes, please, sir.
3 minutes? Keep track of your own time. I'll try to give you a heads up if I notice.
Thank you, sir. All right. I am Buddy Ward. I'm counsel for Mr. Holzinger. May it please the court. All right. John Holzinger got drunk and got stupid, calling one fell swoop. Hauled a bunch of foodstuffs out into his yard, frozen chicken, a carton of milk, and I think a carton of eggs, and shot them.
That's not normal.
My theory is that he's a vegan, and he was just incensed at all these animals. I don't know.
Mr. Ward, it's a pleasure to have you in the court.
Yes, it is.
Thank you, John. He was okay, actually, he even cleaned up his own mess, but then he went inside and he fired a shot. It appears from the evidence, which is primarily from the young woman who was in the house, Ms. Garner, that he was possibly half in, half out, but the pistol itself was inside the building. It was a trailer, a mobile home, and he shot one round through the window of the external door.
Was the door open or closed?
It was open.
There was no screen door. This was the door, right?
There may have been an internal solid door. This was more like a storm door, I think.
In the picture, it's hard to see anything.
It is. It is very difficult. But that was my impression. Regardless, it was the outer door, whether it was the only one or one of two. But the bullet went through the window, and when the door closed, the glass shattered and fell to the floor. The young woman was never put in any danger.
Mr. Warren, can we go back to the... I guess the initial question is, what is the standard? What was the Commonwealth required to prove? And I think that's where you're disputing. You're relying on Strickland to say that the standard is that she was placed in peril, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
What about Kirby, the Supreme Court case, Kirby?
I don't think it really applies here. I think, here's my problem with this case. The judge made his decision based on his conclusion that the bullet might have ricocheted. The prosecutor threw the word ricochet around as if it were some sort of magic shibboleth, and that's what the judge homed in on. Not that she was put in danger.
But doesn't Kirby use may or might?
Well, here's the problem. Okay, here's the problem with that, too. The statute uses the word may when it says if he shoots at or against a dwelling house whereby the life or lives of any such person may be put in peril. But, you know, the statute's in two parts. And if it isn't considered in two parts, then it becomes kind of meaningless. One part is when you're standing inside a building and you fire around, presumably you would know where everyone is. Strickland gets a little beyond that.
If we were looking at a clean slate, I would agree with you that we have to parse through it. But the Supreme Court in Kirby, in interpreting the statute, said it was not necessary for the Commonwealth to show that something actually happened to Lisa, or that she was struck by the bullet, or that the bullets were specifically fired in her direction. All the Commonwealth was required to show was that the discharge of the firearm may have put Lisa's life in peril.
Yes.
That's the standard, may have put.
Yes. But again, the statute uses the word may only with regard to firing a bullet at. And the clear implication there is that it means from the outside. And again, that makes sense. If you shoot at a building and you don't know where the people are inside, then you run the risk of somebody, you know, the bullet passing through the wall. But discharging a firearm within a building, and this firearm was within the building when occupied by one or more persons in such a manner as to endanger. I'll grant you, may, if it's being fired from outside in, sure, no problem. But that's not what happened here, and that's not this situation.
Mr. Ward, didn't the trial judge, Judge Osborne, also put a lot of emphasis on how intoxicated appellant was, and that he's, you know, even if, I don't know if he says this, but, you know, even if he's a trained marksman, if he's that drunk and he's shooting, then she is potentially in peril.
Potentially. And yes, that certainly came up. But again, remember, when he fired the bullet, she was behind him.
She was crouched down near that litter box, sort of
right.
Tipped behind him to the side.
Right, right. But not within 180 degrees of the direction that he was facing, or 90 degrees in each direction.
Because the glass shatters, I mean, that probably would injure you, probably not kill you.
Possibly, sure. But again, it didn't until the door actually closed. And again, she was not harmed, never suggested that she was ever, I don't know, maybe it was safe place. I don't know. The problem is there isn't any evidence with regard to that.
Under Strickland, if there's just a possibility of a ricochet, is that enough? And I understand you may not like Strickland, but of course it's a published decision of the panel of this court that's binding on us.
Very intuitive of you, Your Honor. Okay. Strickland is certainly different. Strickland was in a hospital waiting area. The problem is I don't know what evidence was presented to the trial. All I have is the...
It's a pretty bare-bones opinion.
Yes. There may have been testimony that there were steel girders in the ceiling. And it's a hospital. You sort of have to conclude that it was well-built, a solid structure. And there were people all over the place, not just one person standing behind him. And him firing in a direction away from that person. So it's difficult because it is still May, and I've always had a problem with that. Let me sum the best description I've ever heard of this concept came from one of our trial judges, Judge McCormick. It was an early case I had, and at the end of it he said, well, I think he's probably guilty. But probably not the standard, and that's all you have here, and that covers it so well. Probably would have ricocheted, might have ricocheted. The problem here is that there's no evidence whatsoever that it could have ricocheted. I don't know if there's ever been a study of ricochets, but there are certain factors that are sort of common knowledge.
Apparently there was a ricochet involving a police officer recently in that jurisdiction, right?
Sure. And
Judge Osborne commented on that.
And bullets do on occasion ricochet, but it depends on the substance struck. It depends on the substance of the bullet, a hollow point versus a full metal jacket. It depends on the speed of the bullet, the size, the weight.
And you don't think the mobile home would have... You think the mobile home barrier would have been very...
I think if he stood outside and fired at the building, it would have gone all the way through it.
That, it was a permeable barrier.
Oh, yeah. We have an area that in Halifax County. It's mobile homes. And there's a lot of... There was a gang headquartered there at one time, and one of my clients told me that she put her children to sleep in the bathtub because the bathtub was... the only reasonable protection against bullets. And, that sounds like it's probably a pretty good description. But nonetheless, no. Certainly the window of the door in this building would not have stopped the bullet. And if the prosecutor had an expert come in, if there is an expert, to testify that the nature of the glass, the nature of the bullet, the speed of the bullet, the type of the bullet would have reasonably resulted in a ricochet, at least there would have been something, but there's nothing here. There is a pure assumption. And when we
is it a reasonable inference that a trier of fact could make based on the fact that he was shooting? He was shooting through a glass window out into Never Never Land. That something could have blown back, or that there could have been a ricochet. Is that a reasonable inference that the trier of fact could have made?
I submit no, not on the evidence that was presented. Again, had there been some evidence as to the nature of the glass, a firearms expert who could testify that under those circumstances a ricochet was a very real possibility, then it would have been possibly a reasonable inference. But there's nothing here. There's just this assumption he fired a gun, therefore he must be guilty. And I would submit that under that circumstance, the Commonwealth did not meet its burden, didn't even come close. Again, my client was convicted based on pure assumption, and I'm asking the court to reverse the conviction.
Good morning, Your Honor. May I please the court, Gene Murphy for the Commonwealth. Let me just point back to Kirby, which in the first paragraph, the second paragraph of the opinion, it points out that the statute, in fact, says firing within a building when occupied, whereby their lives or lives are put in peril. So, in fact, they were dealing with the language we have now in our statute when they decided that may would be sufficient. When we get
so if the statute, if we don't think, if we were to agree with Mr. Ward that the statute, in that part of it, doesn't say may, we may be a mere signpost on the road to where that would have to be resolved.
Well, Your Honor, all I'm saying is that the Supreme Court in Kirby did decide that may is available when that language is present.
At what point on a ricochet theory, because that seems to be where we are, does the possibility of ricochet without any expert testimony or any firearms or ballistics testimony or actual evidence of a ricochet, does it become too speculative to sustain a conviction? Cartoons, of course, the bullet ricochets 53 times, goes around corners, all of that stuff. Obviously, that seems to me a bridge too far.
Well, if you look at Strickland, of course, there was no expert testimony in Strickland. All he did was fire into the ceiling. Now, we don't know, and they said there might have been a ricochet. Well, here he's firing into a door. It may have glass panels, but there may well be a doorknob on it or a metal plate around the opening, the doorknob. And if you look at the picture...
It may be, what's the evidence that any of those things did exist?
Well, there's no evidence in Strickland that there was anything in the ceiling that would have produced a ricochet. It's just firing into the ceiling might have come back. Well, here, in addition to that possibility...
Here, the door is wood. There is something in the record about that.
Yes, the door is wood, no question about it. But there's no description of... and you can't see it in the picture of the doorknob.
And she was pretty close behind him.
She was in arm's reach. And I think that's important in Strickland, because when Strickland said, if somebody's firing a gun in close proximity to another person, and you're on a confined space, that in fact may well endanger that person.
Does the open door change whether we're in a confined space?
No, Your Honor, because when you look at page 95, the picture of that room, you see how close everybody is at the time that the gun was fired.
It's a trailer.
The trailer, and this particular room, she's apparently squatting down by this litter box, cleaning it out with the food, and he's leaning against the door right next to her. So they couldn't be any closer as far as close proximity, and it is clearly a confined space. And one of the other things you may want to consider is this washing machine, or I guess it's a dryer or a washer, I'm not sure what it is, right next to the door, which again provides the possibility of a ricochet. I mean, assuming that this man is as drunk as the court determined, there's no telling where the bullet was going to go when he fired. So I think what you have here is you have Strickland, the close proximity, the confined space, the possibility of a ricochet, no more definitive there than here. And then you have the extreme drunkenness of Mr. Hosinger. This is a man who is so drunk the judge says, I'm going to have to drop the charge down from malicious to unlawful, because he's just so drunk. People don't do this sort of thing when they're not really, really drunk.
They don't shoot at frozen food in the yard?
Not ordinarily, apparently. even there, I guess. And then, of course, this level of intoxication would ordinarily, if this were a criminal negligence situation, by itself produce this, because he's, has no concern for the health and the lives of the people around him. So it seems, and don't forget, he's also very irrationally angry. He first cannot find his phone and is really upset by that. Ms. Garner gives him the phone and he's still upset for no apparent reason. And he does then start shooting the food. So you've got a man who's extremely drunk, he's extremely angry for no reason, he's clearly going to be exercising bad judgment, and Kirby...
So your argument is just because he may be trying to shoot outside doesn't mean that's where the bullet is going to go.
Absolutely, Your Honor. I mean, you know, this man is drunk, might well have hit anything
well,
around
him. But the facts are that it did happen to manage to go out the window.
Right. But, I mean, the question is not was she injured, but was she in danger?
Well, no. May put her life in peril.
Right, absolutely. I mean,
So what's the standard for putting someone's life in peril?
If in fact you can conceive some situation where she would in fact have been
in danger. But doesn't that go to how magic does the bullet have to be on a ricochet theory? Because, I mean, he shoots glass. Bullet's going out. For her to be in danger from that, unless we think that the glass could cause the ricochet, don't we have to
assume
the glass would come back in?
I think all we have to say is around that door. Are on the door, in fact, maybe objects that could have caused the ricochet.
What about the fact that he's got a loaded gun, theoretically, and just because one shot didn't hit her, he's got a gun?
That, don't forget, that's what you had in Kirby. Kirby was not a ricochet case. Kirby was a case that they're in close proximity, and he is really, really drunk. And you've got the same situation here, that he is endangering her, by firing a gun when he's in that condition.
But in Kirby, you had a little bit more testimony. You had expert testimony on ricochet.
I don't think there was any ricochet in evidence.
Well, you had the type of gun.
It was a gun, and in fact, he was shooting it within. And that is in fact a within the building case. It's not a shooting into the building. It's a shooting from within. And in fact, that's what the court relied upon was his state of intoxication, plus the fact that they were in. A close shot. He was a shot distance from the victim, and here we have a victim.
He was farther from the victim in
right.
that one.
Yeah, here we have a victim right next to the shooter. He's really drunk.
But the fact that he's drunk and has a loaded gun isn't enough to complete the offense until he pulls the trigger.
Yeah, absolutely, Your Honor.
So it really is the bullet he discharges.
Yes, Your Honor,
that has to put her in danger. It's not that he might fire another bullet from this loaded gun because he's really drunk. It has to be that bullet.
He is in fact firing a bullet in close proximity. And he was really drunk. That seems to me at that point he has endangered her. Whether in fact it fortunately didn't hit anything that was going to bounce back or didn't, in fact.
Assume another case. Assume not a trailer. Assume a single family home. He's at the door. Everything's the same. She's on the second floor in a different part of the house.
No, Your Honor. I think the close proximity is an important part of both Kirby.
That's absolutely key.
And Strickland, that when you're close together, I think you're much more likely to, fall over while you're shooting, or in his case, just collapse while he's firing the gun. I mean, lots of things that could have happened at this point when he decides.
Of course, he didn't.
It didn't happen, but
the
question is, did he endanger her by doing that? And maybe if he had been waving the gun around, that's not shown in this case. But if he was just waving the gun around, the gun goes off and doesn't hit her. Well, we wouldn't say, he wasn't endangering her merely because when he finally fired, it wasn't pointed in her direction.
Well, in Kirby, the other thing that was significant to the court was he told her she was going to die.
Well, certainly, there were threats there. But, here we got the additional fact of the irrational anger that he is displaying, so that, in fact, he is very hostile towards her. He kicks the door when he's going to go out, when she pushes it. When she closes it, it's a situation where you have an irrational, drunken man right next to the victim firing a gun inside.
And closer here than in Kirby.
Oh, yes, right next.
Can I go back to my first question to you? With the statute says if any person maliciously discharges a firearm within any building when occupied by one or more persons in such a manner as to endanger the life or lives of such person or persons. There's no may in there. Supreme Court has seemed to have told us in Kirby, though, that it means may.
Yes, Your Honor.
That's your argument, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Not that the statute says that specifically.
No, Your Honor, it certainly does not. And that's a fact that surprised me that, the Supreme Court...
So if they have a problem with that, this isn't the court to deal with it. That's kind
of
wrong there.
Absolutely. And unless there are any further questions, I simply request that the decision be affirmed. Thank you.
Mr. Ward.
Just going through my notes, I don't believe there was any evidence that he was actually angry at her Again, it was totally irrational. We don't know why he was angry. I'm sticking with my
baby.
I'm not sure that helps you.
Yeah, doesn't the fact that he was irrational go to Mr. Murphy's argument that he could certainly, her life may have been in peril?
Again, May is not the standard here. Is that simply,
well, how do you reconcile Kirby if May is not the standard?
Or unless you're just here, as Judge Beals has hinted a couple times, checking a box so you can go somewhere else.
I didn't say it quite that. So I'm going somewhere, somewhere else.
I'm not going there, Your Honor. All right.
If you are checking, if you have a check the box impulse, consider it checked.
Okay, thanks, sir. Actually, you know, I think I've covered everything. Any questions, I'll be glad to answer, but otherwise, I'm done.
Thank you, Mr. Ward.
Thank you.
And